Praise the Lord. Well, welcome to this Easter Sunday message, Sunday the 31st of March 2024. We celebrate today this resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua, the Anointed One of God. And we need to just focus upon this great act of His and of God on our behalf. But let's just get started with a reading from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. That's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious word. We thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for what you've done for us. We stand amazed. Our prayer is that we would derive from what you had to go through as much as we possibly can and rejoice in what God has done for us people living on the earth. We bless you and we thank you. Holy Spirit, we ask you to anoint us, anoint our ears to hear, and our tongue to speak, Lord, that your great kingdom might progress, go forward in power and in glory, in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. When we read this passage, the underlying imagery, if you can call it that, is the whole understanding of running a race. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Yeshua. Now, the title of this message is that He is the author and finisher of our faith. Let us look unto Yeshua, the author and finisher of our faith. Just to continue this imagery of a race, I'm sure we all understand that as children of God, we are commissioned to run a race. The race starts the moment we get born again and ends when we cross the finishing line into glory. Praise His holy name. Now, we notice here that the Lord is the author and finisher of our faith. And in terms of this analogy, perhaps we could look at it this way. He's at the start, the starter, as it were. He fires the starter pistol as you and I get born again and we start to run our Christian race on this earth. But he doesn't just stay at the start. He is at the end, at the finishing line. And he is the finisher of our faith, waiting for us with open arms, you see. On the way, we notice that we have a cloud of witnesses encouraging us. The crowd in the grandstand encouraging us. Those are those who have gone ahead, you see. They look down on us, not that we can talk to them at all, please. But they look down and they are there to encourage us, to pray for us. They're in heaven. So you see, we have to run this race. Now, the significance of our religion, if you want to call it that, in fact, I hate to call it a religion, but the outstanding feature of what we believe is that our God is alive. We all know Christ died, yes, and that was sad. But the great victory is that he was raised from the dead by Almighty God. The power of God reached down and raised him up despite every effort of the enemy to keep him down. Every force of hell was arrayed on that day to keep him in hell. But God, in his great power, in a sense laughing at them, just reached down and dragged his son back up. You see, now the significance of that is obviously that our God is alive. Christ is alive. And as wonderful as that fact is, You see, what it means for us is that you and I have got a Savior who is around. He's available. As we always have said, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. It's a relationship from beginning to end. A relationship with God made possible through our Lord and Savior, Yeshua, the Anointed One. He is the connection. In a very simple way, Christianity is all about Him. You and my walk on this earth, if we are children of God, should be all about Him. Your and my relationship with Him is paramount. If we understand that, you see, God came down in the form of His Son as a man so that we men could relate to Him. The trials of life, He faced all of them and He came through victorious. That same God is available to you and I. No other religion can boast that. Not one. We have a God who is available on a daily basis. Now, the significance of Easter is simply this. He rose. Yes, that's wonderful and victorious, and He conquered sin. Praise God, and He bought the ticket for us to go to heaven. Wonderful. But you see, He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's with us from the beginning to the end. He didn't leave us, desert us to carry on and maybe one day make it through. Not at all. He's here to help us by means of the Holy Spirit. The one limitation Christ had on this earth was that He was confined by time and space, which is, that is our paradigm now in this dispensation. And so God had to send the Holy Spirit, by means of which Christ is now made available to every single individual on the face of the earth on a personal daily basis. That's the significance of that scripture where He says He knows every hair on our heads. That's a lot of counting. But you see, it's not that He's interested in how much hair we might have or not have. He's interested in us. And the point is, you and I, with our limited human minds, need to just expand them and grasp the fact that no matter how many people are on this earth, He loves every one of us, and He has a desire to have an intimate relationship with every one of us on a very personal basis. That is the heart of Christianity. That is the very heart of it. And you see, if you and I can understand that, if we grasp that, it changes everything. It changes everything. It changes the way, in a sense, that we do church. It changes how we behave. It should do. Now, us humans very much like to put things in boxes. I think the reason for that is that it gives us control over them. We like to be able to label somebody with a label that we are familiar with. We like to order everything around us to control it. Now, it's not bad to live an orderly life. The Bible does say we need to order our conversation aright. But you see, we cannot afford to try and put God, who we want to serve, in a box marked our religion. You cannot do that. The moment we do that, we come unstuck. However, if we understand our relationship with God is what this religion is all about, everything we do, not only in the spiritual realm, religious realm, in the church realm, but in everyday life, if everything we do is seen through the lens of this fact, our life is about our relationship with Him, with God Almighty. It changes everything. It changes everything. Let's just look at a few things that we Christians are, I suppose, expected to do. Right there is the problem. I remember as a young boy at school, we just had our, I think it was Sunday lunch, and we were sitting around after the meal in the dining hall, and there were a group of students that were a year or two ahead of me talking. And one of them was talking about the whole subject of being a Christian. I just listened with half an ear, so to speak, and I remember him saying things like, oh, well, if you are a Christian, you must pray. You must do this. You must do that. I can't remember what else he said. The thought crossed my mind, well, I don't do these things really, so that means I must not be a Christian. Years later now, looking back, I realize this young man who didn't claim to be a Christian, he'd obviously had some experience at being a Christian, and now he'd looking back in his experience, he said, no, well, that's what you have to do. And the implication was, well, I don't do that anymore, so maybe I'm not. He didn't know. He was ignorant, like all of us there. And you see, the problem was that he was sitting down and telling everybody there's a list of do's and don'ts that you have to comply with to be a Christian. In a sense, there are certain boxes that you have to tick off. Brothers and sisters, we can so easily fall into this trap. We look at our service to God and we can so easily reduce it to a set of boxes that we have to tick. I must pray. Well, if I've got to pray, how am I going to pray? I'll make it short and easy as possible. And then, you see, we fall into the trap of praying by rote. When I was at school, it was a church school. We spoke the Lord's Prayer every single morning during the week. And this is how it went. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, blah, 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 blah. Amen. More or less. On Wednesdays, we did it in Afrikaans. We just gabbled it off as if to say, well, we've done our prayer. We are good Christians. We ticked the box. Looking back now, I realize we missed the point completely. We missed the point completely. If we understand that Christianity is relationship, what does that make prayer? Very simple. Prayer now becomes just having a conversation with our God, who's around, he's alive, by the Holy Spirit. You and I, simple human beings, can sit down and talk to the ruler of the universe on a one-to-one basis. That's prayer. As I like to say, nothing more or less than a fat chat. Now, isn't that amazing? How did we miss it? I've had experiences where people start jabbering to each other and you can't stop them. We love to talk, generally speaking, male and female, by the way. However, you ask those same people that have been busy jabbering away, well, let's pray. It's hush. It's all hush. Now, what's the difference speaking to one another and speaking to Almighty God? Now, please, I understand there's different levels of prayer. There's a whole realm of intercession and things like that. But the starting point, if we understand this Christianity is relationship, the starting point is talking to Him. The quickest way to cut off a relationship with anybody is to simply stop talking. Now, please, let's understand, it's not just talking, it's also hearing. Relationship is based on time spent together and communication. Communication is a two-way street. But you see, as we start to talk to God and give Him a chance, and we try and pick up in our spirit what He's saying, that's how you and I, anybody, develops a relationship with the living God. And the more time you and I spend doing that, guess what? The better that relationship will become. The author and the finisher of our faith is interested in being with us, if you'd like to put it this way, to be our personal coach. That's his concern. And you might say, oh, well, what do I talk about? Well, what we talk about with everybody else. Talk to him about your concerns. Tell him how you feel. Did you know the whole book of Psalms? Well, most of it was written by David, and David in bad, King David that is, in bad conditions, in bad situations, hanging out with God and complaining to him. Not only did he do that, he wrote it down. He went even further than that. He wrote down his complaints, then he went to the church musicians and he gave them the poem and he said, make a song out of this. That's the book of Psalms for you. Oh, but I'm not David. No, you're a human being like everybody else, like David was. God's interested. But is God interested that my dog has to go to the vet? Of course he's interested. Of course he's interested. Just as interested as if one of your children or parent or somebody like that was ill in hospital. Of course, in the scheme of things, life is more important of humans and animals. But God is concerned. That's the point. If it affects you and I, it affects him. He's inside of us. That's quite a thought. That's an Easter thought for you. Christ alive at the right hand of the Father, yes, but also right here in you and my life, wanting to be the author of our faith and to bring it to completion. Can you see that? The finisher. He wants to finish the job off. And he doesn't leave us to struggle and just to make it through. No, he's here to help us. We have got to understand this. Children of God, we've got to understand this. God is on our side. The next area of, I suppose you could call it, box ticking is the business of reading the Bible. Oh, my soul, I cannot go through the day if I haven't read my scriptures. So once again, what do? Keep it short, get it done, tick the box, and off we go. Well, for your information, if you and I are approaching the Bible like that, which, unfortunately, I realize most Christians actually do, let me put it very bluntly, you're wasting your time. It would be better for you not to even read it at all. God is not impressed by you and I doing something from a ritualistic point of view just to say we've done it. But you see, once again, we've missed the point. What is the Bible really about? Well, once again, if we understand it through the prism of relationship, it makes perfect sense. Like we said, relationship is a two-way communication thing. The only way to develop any relationship is to communicate, and communication is two-way traffic. So, we approach the Bible. What is the purpose of the Bible? That Bible, in your and my hands, was written by Almighty God through many people, by the Holy Spirit, so that you and I could do what? Hear what our Father has got to say. Can it be more simple than that? That's what the Bible is about. Yes, we can learn principles from it. We can learn great moral principles from it. There's a lot more to the Bible than hearing God, but that's the primary function of the Bible. And if we approach it in the right way, and we understand, well, I'm going to be reading the Bible, I fully expect my God to speak to me. My soul, your Bible reading will extend way beyond 10 minutes. And if you and I really get into it, we don't want to put it down. But you see, you've got to just understand, God wants to use his written word to speak to us. He wants us to have an accurate ability to hear what he is saying, something to bounce off what we believe he's saying, something set in stone, as it were, concrete, the God who doesn't change. Anything God will say to you now, I can guarantee you, it might not be specifics, but the general principle will be there. And if you can't find the general principle in the Word of God, be very cautious about what you're stepping out and doing. I always say to people when they say, oh, well, God spoke to me about this or that. Well, that's fine. I'm not going to argue with you. But just to make sure, just ask your God for three scriptures that confirm that. Until you get those three, the Bible speaks about two preferably three witnesses, before you get that, be very cautious. We humans love to hear what we want to hear and blame God. All right. But anyway, the point is, God wants to finish our faith. And on the way, he wants to give us instruction. What sort of personal trainer would just expect you and I to pitch up at the gym and to exercise and never give us specific instruction? Well, God wants to do the same. That's what his word is all about. But if we approach it as, oh, well, let me just get it done and I've done it, tick the box, we miss the point. The only box you and I have to tick in life, let me tell you, is this question. Does it help my relationship with God or not? That's the only question. That's the only box that needs to be ticked. And if you can tick that box, then we've got it right. We've made this Christianity a lot more complicated than it actually is. Let me just touch on another final ritual, as it were. This whole business of church attendance. Once again, we Christians know we must go to church. If you don't go to church, you're not a Christian. There's a lot of truth in that, by the way. We weren't made to go it alone. We weren't. Try and do it. You're welcome. But you see, if we have this attitude, oh, well, I've got to do it. So, to tick that box, let me make it as painless as possible. Find some organization that will get it over with quickly. Hour, half an hour, if possible, where I just can come in there, enjoy the music, listen to what's being spoken somewhere in the background, and get out of there and hopefully be in time to tee up at the golf club. Now, you see, once again, if we have this attitude towards church, we've missed the point completely. It's better for you not to go. Instead of just doing 9 holes on Sunday, do 18. Get started at 6 o'clock. Be much better for you, for us. However, if we grasp this fact that church is about meeting with our Father, our problem as children of God is that our God, although he's alive, cannot be seen. That's why men and women often make an idol of something, something to hold on to. But you see, God's created a facility. He understood that we'd battle with this. He gave us something that we can see. And that thing is the body of Christ meeting together. It's designed in such a way, with features like the gifts of the Holy Spirit, etc., for you and I, if we get church done properly, to hear his voice. That's exactly what church is about. I like to put it this way. Church is an opportunity for God to put his arms around his people. And if we understand that, I tell you something, we don't want to stay away. The great revivals are marked by one thing. Nobody wanted to go home. The revival in Wales, the Welsh revival, 1906. There were times when massive congregations just met. They were going on and on, just praying, crying out to God. Simple prayers, people, shoulder to shoulder, packed in churches, just crying out to God. And they came to about 12:30, and this one service, there was a whole lot of young people, and the minister said, well, I think we should all go home. As a body, the congregation said, no, we're not finished yet. Prayed right through. In the morning, many of them, coal miners, went back to the coal pit, worked, came back the next day to get more of God. That's proper church. That's how it's supposed to be. But our attitude has got to change. We're not here to tick a box. We don't go to church just to tick the box and say, oh, well, I've done my church. Now I can have a restful day. The whole of the Lord's Day is the Lord's Day, actually. Church should be part of it. That's why in our congregation, we have a starting time, yes, but the ending time is subject to change. Why? We're not here to tick a box. We're here to meet with the living God. That's the heart of it. There's so many other rituals we go through. Oh, my soul. The church, religious church, has been very good at putting stuff on people. Going through doing a rosary, lighting candles, certain days that are observed, etc., etc., etc. Now, please, all of these things, if they're done from a perspective of this helps me communicate with God, by all means, go ahead. But let's grasp this one thing. Christ is risen. Not only is he risen, he's alive, and he's here. Through the agency of the Holy Spirit, he's here and now in a more intimate way, almost, than if he actually had to walk in through the door and we could speak to him on a continual basis. He's here. Not just at our beck and call, he's here to be a friend. We've got to grasp this, children of God. And every time you and I approach anything, especially with regard to our religious observance, our spiritual observances, as it were, what is the issue? When I take communion, when we take communion, is this a ritual we just get over with because we do it every Sunday? No. No. Does it help my relationship with him? And if you and I understand what communion actually means, and we spend time around it, focusing on it, that simple sacrament can mean such a lot. There have been instances where people have taken communion with such reverence, such appreciation, that they've actually experienced physical healing. How does that happen? Well, it's a whole attitude, understanding when we pray, when we read the Bible, when we fellowship, when we worship, when we praise, when we go about our daily work, whatever we do, the only box we have to tick is this one. Does this benefit my relationship with my God? And in a sense, does it help somebody else's relationship with God? Because we're not in this alone. My prayer is that every one of us will run this race and win. But to help us on the way, let's understand our Savior, Christ himself, risen from the dead, seated at the right hand of glory, is available. Available to you and I every single day. That is the best definition of Christianity that there is. You and I having a relationship with the great God of the universe. May we be blessed in his mighty name. Amen.